Please note, the opinions and perspectives expressed on the following show are solely those of the host and their guest. These opinions and views do not reflect Ruckus Avenue Radio or Dash Radio. Listener discretion is advised.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Jyoti K, and this is Jyoti K Uncut on Ruckus Avenue on Dash Radio. We have the Jazzy Dog back.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. And we have Lucy with us, of course.
Of course. Out too, guys.
Yeah. So last week, if you guys tuned in, we were talking with Jasmine about, you know, mental health and mental health awareness. And there was so much to talk about that we couldn't do it all in one episode. So here we are again to touch base on a little more about mental health and get a little bit deeper, even though we were super deep last time.
Yeah.
I actually had, when I did initially reach out to Jasmine, I was telling her about how I did an episode about addiction, and she wanted to listen to it, and I sent her the episode, which was very emotional to me. And I know a lot of you have given so much love to that episode, and I really, really appreciate you guys, because that was something that was really important to me. Like, I stayed up day and night trying to figure out why, you know, my loved one was going through this addiction process. But I think that's why I also wanted to talk to you, because mental health does correlate with addiction.
It does.
And as we were talking in our last episode, that people do result to addiction because of guilt, trauma, depression, so many different things. So right. I wanted to talk to you today about that.
Yeah, let's continue the conversation.
Yeah, let's go. So when you listened to my episode and you heard about how, you know, how my dad started, when I started noticing things, and how he was in, you know, he was in denial, and then right. he had to hit rock bottom. So I just want to know your thought process on that. Your doctor, like, what did your doctor knowledge say when you heard those things?
My doctor knowledge. Okay, so it was very evident to me how distressed you were, mm-hmm. and how difficult it was for you to discuss this. And as a physician, as a psychiatrist, I am aware of the addiction process and how it can affect families.
Yeah.
So that was kind of very evident to me. Mm. I have worked with addicts. I have had patients who are addicts, and it sounded very, very classic. His denial, his difficulties, the secretiveness, that's big in addiction.
Yeah.
So it just sounded very correct, but the very shocking and I think new part of it was that someone of our culture is talking about this.
Yeah.
It's such an ignored thing.
It is.
And so those are my thoughts, and I want to thank you for reaching out to me.
No, thank you for coming.
I hope I can help you, help other people understand these things better.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted, because of you, of course, being Indian as well. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
you know, it's and I feel like he didn't reach out for help or admit because of being Indian.
Mm.
Right. I think that is the number one thing. I literally was like, I won't tell anybody. Mm. Like, I looked him in the eye. I was like, I won't tell anybody. Like,
right.
We could do this secretly. Mm. And he just was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You do drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I give up, you know? And so, again, can you, when it comes to addiction, I don't even know where to start with this. So you think when they do it to feel better about something? Or what do you think, like, the root of why they become an addict?
If you talk to 10 psychiatrists or 10 addiction specialists, they're going to give you 10 theories on mental illness and addiction and why it happens. Through my own reading, and I've read, I think the most prominent writer for me is Dr. Gabor Mate. He is an author, writer who has worked with addicts for about 12, 15 years. So I like his theory. I don't fully agree with it, obviously, mm-hmm. as I'm, you know, another psychiatrist.
And
but
learning.
Right. And I'm still learning. So this is what I understand so far. A majority of addicts do have underlying mental health issues, and they have found a substance to help alleviate the pain of those issues. There is a genetic component to addiction and mental health as well. So if someone's parents are heavily addicted, there is a higher chance that the child could suffer from an addiction. Another thing that's very important to understand about the life of an addict is their childhood. So I read somewhere that addiction develops between, you know, birth and 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
And that time is so important for the child to have a nourishing environment where parents are attuned to the child's needs. So let me give you an example. Let's say there's a mom and a dad who are depressed for whatever reason. Let's say they're having financial issues. So they're kind of preoccupied with making ends meet. Okay? They have a child who is distressed, and they don't give the child enough attention or enough of their emotional support because they're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to keep the roof over everyone's head. That child could feel that, oh, are they not paying attention? Why are they not paying attention to me? Why are they not helping me cope with whatever issue? And so this leads to the child, feeling that there's something deficient in themselves. It leads to the child feeling empty, having issues of self-worth, and looking to the outside of themselves to feel better. And that's problematic because they can find substances, mm-hmm. and substances are powerful. They change brain chemistry. They really do change how you feel. Mm-hmm. So this child, let's say, when they get older, they discover alcohol and they find that to be very soothing. Mm-hmm. And so they feel pleasure, they feel reward, they feel better. And then once the substance wears off, they crave it and they want to feel good like that again. So they start looking for it and then they find it again. And so this pattern develops of like pleasure, reward, craving, and the continuous search becomes a pattern and a way to cope with the stresses of life. So this is the addiction process. And what makes it an addiction is that this behavior causes a detriment to the individual, meaning they're so wrapped up in substance use and looking for it that they aren't going to work anymore. They aren't going to school anymore. All their time is devoted to finding the substance and using the substance. And even though they know that this is bad for them and it's causing them harm, they can't help it. They continue to do it. That's the addiction process. That they know it's bad, they know it's hurting them, but in order to even feel normal again, they need the substance.
They need the substance.
Right.
And it affects you physically, mentally.
It does.
Your family.
Yes.
Your everyone.
Right. And it's a really complex, actually. Our physiology is involved, our psychology is involved, the individual's relationships, their environment, their childhood, their education. You know, so many factors go into why someone uses substances or whatever they use to make themselves feel better. And addiction isn't limited to alcohol and drugs.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah. So I think this is a good time to bring up that you can be addicted to food. You can be addicted to shopping. You can be addicted to the internet. You can be addicted to television.
Sex.
You could have a sex addiction. You could have an addiction to porn. And it's not that these things, I mean, shopping, TV, food, these are essential, you know, to life,
yeah.
Especially food.
Exactly.
So what makes it an addiction? It's not the substance itself, but what that substance or behavior does for the person. I think that's a really important point. Mm-hmm. It's not that alcohol inherently is evil. Many people drink alcohol and never become addicted.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can stop at any time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not the alcohol itself, but what it does for the person. We all want to feel good. We all want to feel calm. We all want to feel, if we're tired, we want to feel like we have more energy. If we're really anxious, we want to feel calmer.
Yeah.
And if someone finds a substance that does that or a behavior that does that, they're going to keep doing it because
it works.
So I think it's best to consider why you do what you do and understand addiction in this way.
Okay. Yeah. No, I understand that. Do you think it releases a chemical in your brain?
It does.
Okay.
So the chemical involved with this is dopamine.
Dopamine.
Yeah. Dopamine is naturally occurring in our brain. It's related to addiction and feeling good. And it's also involved in motivation. So when you feel motivated, that's kind of a mechanism of dopamine.
And then that's what we chase.
Right.
Like, do energy drinks and things like that do that for you? Or is that...
I don't know.
Yeah, because I feel like when I want to go to the gym, I take pre-workout.
Right.
And I kind of feel like it releases that. I'm like, you know what? I'm a superstar.
This maybe. Is I don't think so. Drugs release dopamine.
Yeah, of
methamphetamine, course. It releases dopamine. Mm-hmm. I think in the pre-workout, it's more caffeine. And that has a different mechanism in the brain.
Gotcha.
But I'm not sure.
Caffeine could be an addiction. Some people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm addicted to caffeine 100%. 100%. If I don't have caffeine, I get a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I'm not addiction. I'm not in a good mood.
Are you irritable?
I'm irritable.
Yeah.
I get like I'm short fused and everything. Like I must, you know, I say this all the time. One of my goals is when I make it is I want somebody to serve me coffee right when I wake up.
Oh wow.
You know, like right when I wake up. If I could shower and have my coffee at the same time.
It's like when people drink beer and have them shower and they're just like, yeah.
Yeah, like definitely.
Ruckus. Avenue Radio.
No, but going back to addiction, you know, one of the things that I feel like why people get addicted and just by person, not that I've ever been addicted, but by personal experience of drowning my feelings.
Totally.
Because I feel like the way our what is it, us humans are made, we do things by either pain or pleasure. That's what causes us to do things. So we're either going to do it because it causes pleasure or we're not going to do it because it causes pain.
Avoiding pain,
So one of the things is with addiction is if it's causing pleasure, that's what you're going for right now. And it's just a temporary thing with that pleasure that we should be thinking long term. But most of us, you know, or I don't want to say most of us, but I just, because I'm not addicted. But most of people who are addicted, we're just thinking of that instant pleasure.
So this actually relates very closely to Freud. So you're bringing up things that Freud found that humans want to feel good.
Yeah,
we do. So you're absolutely correct. And
we'll do anything to feel that way sometimes.
Absolutely. And so that's important to understand that humans are looking for pleasure and we want to avoid pain. Yeah. But also everyone has a potential to become addicted.
Yeah.
I think throughout our discussions, I've just kind of said us or we or them, but quite frankly, we all have the potential to become addicted to various things, behaviors or substances. So
any color, any size, anywhere.
Anybody, any religion, any culture.
Anything. And it doesn't have to be necessarily like something as extreme as what my dad was addicted to.
Right.
I mean, every addiction is extreme, but it could be like caffeine or sex or things like that. Yeah. Addiction, what I like to say, addiction is real. And I think a lot of... cultural differences that we have is people think that it's something you pick, as we talked about, or if I've heard before, it's because they're not educated, or they're poor.
Oh,
poor people do things like that.
Wow.
We weren't poor, and they're like, you know, because they're like, it's a poor drug. It doesn't matter if it's a poor drug, rich drug. Drug is a drug.
Drug is a drug.
That's a good point, and that's so funny because there was where I grew up. One of our friends. Her mom was addicted to medication, right?
Mm.
And it was so funny because she was one of the most judgmental. I think because of her, I'm not a judgmental person because I used to go to their house all the time. Super judgmental person, right?
Yeah.
But it was so funny because she would want us to stay out of drugs and she'd be like, that is for lower class people, blah, 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 blah. As she's taking her medication. I'm like, you guys are both addicted to the same, you know.
Yeah,
like
contradiction.
You guys are both addicted to something.
Yeah.
It's just what? Because your doctor prescribed it to you and now you can't get out of it, you know. And you're zoned out. Because that's why we used to go over her house. Because her mom would get so high off the medication that we could do what we want over there. You know. And then because this person's getting it off the street, that person is...
Looks like what happened.
Low, you know, choosing a poor drug. But...
Yeah, so I was going to go somewhere with that. Hold on.
It's okay.
About it being poor. About it being poor? What was it? Oh, this is my point that I'd like to make. So anything can be addictive and anyone can face addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Workaholic. People are workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
They work hard. They get positive feedback from it. And that feels good.
Yeah.
And so people can become workaholics and they mm-hmm. neglect their family. They neglect their own personal well-being and they just keep working. That's an addiction too.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Companies who are seeking profit at the expense of, you know, the little people on the totem pole. That's also an addiction. Mm-hmm. You're just hurting yourself and others. So addiction can be anything yeah. and it can affect anyone.
And that's my like point exactly. So I hate when people try to make up their own reasoning for it. Stop making things up, guys. Just stop doing that. addiction treatment. So what, in your eyes, what do you think is a good route to treatment? What do you think when you realize I might maybe addicted to something or you realize your loved one is addicted to something? What would your steps be?
So your first step would be to get mental health care. And you can start by telling your regular doctor, if you have one, that this is a problem and I want to treat it. So they can either refer you to a psychiatrist or an addiction center, and there is a specialty amongst psychiatrists for addiction psychiatry, and they would be embedded in a larger program. So you would want to go to a program where you would have a psychiatrist, some therapists, and various avenues to treat your addiction, because it's not just, oh, here's a pill and you're going to feel better.
Yeah.
Addiction affects all areas of your life. So the treatment should also reflect all areas of your life. So addiction centers, psychiatrists, therapists, this is the way to go for addiction treatment. If someone wants to look at mental health treatment, a great organization is NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI.org, or you can also go to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, ADAA.org. Go to those websites. You can put in your zip code and find a psychiatrist near you. And don't ignore the problem. Please try to solve it.
Yeah, and if it's your loved one as well, still reach out. Because sometimes that's the first step that you need to take. Right. I mean, I tried and I feel like stubbornness plays a really, really big part when someone's addicted to something. And what I really hate about, you know, I don't hate it, but I don't blame the government or whatever, whoever is in charge of it, that you can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped.
Right.
So I can't drag my dad and sign him up for,
yeah,
you need to be here.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we have rights and mm-hmm. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But man, did I wish I could just go drop his ass off. Like it was, you cannot leave here. And I wish that was a case, but then again, there would be people dropping people off when they weren't even crazy or addiction. So it's like people always take advantage of those kind of situations.
Right. It could have been misused.
Misused.
Totally. Just so in this country, no, you can't force someone to drop them off. Yeah. But
everyone would be outside the mental health clinic. My wife is cheating on me.
Take
mental
her.
Health.
That happened actually. So So we used to have, at least I know in California, there were state hospitals. And it would be misused. If a man was sick of his wife, he would say, oh, she's mentally ill, and they would just take her. So there was a lot of misuse of mental health care in our history. And I think that's why rights of the mentally ill have become so strict.
I believe it,
yeah.
Honestly, because they drop her off at a crazy home, and people do it. You know, and people drop people off at the church because they think that'll fix them.
Yeah.
It sucks that it gets misused for people who actually need it.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that I could have just, can you just take my dad, you know, and I'm sure, or somebody who just checks themselves, you know, I don't know. I just think that's crazy. where I want to talk about is, let's just say someone's addicted or someone's gay or someone, any kind of problem they have in our society, why do you think they want to marry them off? Like, marriage is always a solution. Like, I remember when my mom thought I was a slut. I don't want to say that, but I'm just saying she thought I was doing bad things, intercourse, because she found
things.
Because you know when, like, I was embarrassed to get birth control, so I would go to Planned Parenthood.
Uh-huh.
To get it, because but they would give you like this brown bag full of like 5 million condoms, like you're gonna have sex every day for the rest of your life. and I was like, I'm not putting this in my house. And so I like left it in my trunk, I remember, and my dad was like cleaning my car and he found them. So anyways, so then they were like, we need to get her married. And I'm like, that's what? What is that gonna solve? So I do, and then I feel like that happens with a lot of people and it ruins a lot of lives.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So I have been always fascinated by the Indian cultural pressure to get married, both personally and professionally. I've seen it in my patients. Yeah. I've had patients who were psychiatrically hospitalized, and I meet with the parents, and they're saying, they're talking about marriage.
You're like, this person is not capable of getting married.
Yeah, they can't function outside of the hospital. Why are we discussing marriage? I don't understand it.
Wait, I'm not from the Indian culture, so I just wanted to touch base on that.
Yeah.
So they're coming in with a mental something situation, mm-hmm. and they're telling you, should we marry them? Is that what?
Yeah, no, so let me explain.
I'm like, wait, hold on.
Just marry them off, doctor.
Yeah, let me explain exactly what I've encountered. So when you have a psychiatric hospital, you take patients' rights away. They can't leave.
Okay.
And you hospitalize them because either they're a danger to themselves, they're a danger to others, or they're gravely disabled. And what does that mean? So grave disability means they can't provide for their own food, clothing, and shelter. Mm. So for these reasons, you psychiatrically hospitalize someone. Mm-hmm. And it's a locked facility. Only approved people can go in. They can't leave. And you have legal holds to keep them in the hospital. So it starts with a 3-day hold, and then it can go to a 2-week hold until they get better, essentially. And the legal system is involved to protect their rights. Mm-hmm. So I've worked in such units. All psychiatrists have to go through training in these kind of units. And like I've said before, I've had Indian and Punjabi and actually various races of patients. But I've had this experience where I've had a young person hospitalized, and you typically talk to the family if you're allowed to. That's also, a patient has to approve of that. So I was talking to the family, and all they could think about was marriage. And I was so confused. As a medical student and as a doctor, I was so confused. But then when I thought about my heritage, I would say, yeah, there is so much talk about marriage all the time. And I think it's because maybe it's a huge financial investment and a goal for parents to have their child married. They think it's a sense of normalcy and it's a happy occasion, so they really want to make it happen as soon as possible.
The people, oh look, we married our child off, we did our deed.
Yeah, we did, you know, did what we had to do, we completed our role or our job.
I think they want to take the weight off their shoulders. Like, here, you handle him now, or you handle her now.
In the case of mental illness, yes, I do.
Yeah, an addiction. Mm-hmm. Or like, okay, he's doing drugs. Let's hurry up and do our part, and now you can take care.
Or it comes from a place of, you know, a lack of education about it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, marriage isn't going to solve this.
Yeah,
marriage isn't a cure for mental health.
If anything, I feel like it's a stressor. Like, okay, now we got one family involved and another family involved. Now everyone's going to be stressed out, and I'm sorry, I hope I didn't kill your train of thought.
No, no.
But I've seen situations where my mom, you know, I overheard her talk a lot of times where that has happened, where this girl from my town, she was, the guy from my town was married off from a girl from India, beautiful girl, but he was like, did constant drugs, he had girlfriends and things like that. Beautiful lady, she comes here, she needs to cook, clean for the family. And then she needs to take care of an addict who doesn't even care about her. But, you know, they thought the marriage part would, you know, fix everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now he has a family. He's going to care. If he didn't care before the wife, he's not going to care now. If he wasn't cured before her, I don't think, you know, he's going to be cured now.
Right.
So that's, I've seen it happen myself.
Right.
Ruckus Avenue Radio.
Yeah, this idea that marriage is a solution to mental health problems is wildly distorted. It makes me question why some people want to get married, or why parents want their children to get married. What
did that
you...
kind of make sense to you?
Yeah.
It makes sense what you're saying. In our culture, like, of course, everyone wants to get married, but I don't think we'd use it as a solution. Mm. You know,
do you guys have like a certain age you need to get married
Are you kidding me? By 18, you should be married with a kid.
With us, like 25, my mom was like, you don't have kids yet? You don't have like.
You missed your train.
Yeah, I'm like, mom, people are, it's after 30 now.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Like, with us, it's like, you know how our marriages are huge? It's like an accomplishment, I feel like mm-hmm. we put them through school, we did this, and now they're married. We did our American dream.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that they are, it's more for them to feel better. Mm-hmm. Even though deep down inside, I don't know how you'll feel better knowing that you're marrying off somebody who doesn't even want to be married. Like, I don't understand.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I sometimes feel like it's just to make them feel better.
I think you're totally right, Jyoti, but I think also that the history, if we look at it, you know, let's think about a village in India.
Yeah.
Let's say someone who has limited resources and they have a daughter or two daughters, and they would have to think about, oh, I need to collect enough money to do her wedding and pay the dowry. It could be stressful.
That could be, yeah.
So maybe the roots are in that somewhere. I don't know. You know, these questions don't have simple answers.
They don't. It's very complex. But, and that's what they think. Marriage will solve everything. It's a Band-Aid. Marriage.
But it's not. Marriage is not a Band-Aid. Marriage is something that should be taken, a step that should be taken very thoughtfully and with a lot of consideration.
I think it's very selfish of them to say, get them married. I think it's a very selfish thing.
Yeah, I also think it's just they don't know anything else.
Maybe, right? That's true too.
Yeah.
So it all plays a part. Yeah, I guess so. And I think lack of education is probably what. So educate yourself, guys. Don't
become aware of mental health issues.
And speaking of awareness, I just wanted to know, like, I know we've learned why you picked this field, and I want to just learn about, you know, what are you going to do to cause more awareness, and what would you like our listeners to know?
So, as you can tell, I try to learn as much as I can about this.
I've learned so much from you today. I thought I had it down.
Well, thank you. And I try to, you know, this is very real for me. This is not just a job for me. I think it's my calling. It comes from a very real place, a real passionate place for me. And what I'm doing is a few things, actually. So I'm in residency. I'm see patients. That's my job. That's my work. So that's part one. Part two is I'm using media and social media to spread awareness and education. It's come up so many times in this conversation that's step one.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
So I have a social media account on Instagram called The Jazzy Doc, and I put various things on there related to mental health. In addition to that, I have a segment in Fresno called, it's just me, it's not called anything, but I'm on a show, a live show called Central Valley Today. And I talk about...
That's huge. Proud of you, by the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback for this, this work that I do on television, namely because mental health needs as much awareness as possible. And being someone of our culture, Indian American culture, it's a little bit rare, perhaps, to be a psychiatrist who's prominently speaking on these topics.
I think so too, because again, mental health is looked down upon. So being a psychiatrist is looked down upon.
Right. So it's two.
It's two things. Yeah. And so that's why I commend you for saying F you. This is what I'm going to do. But you're doing it because you want to solve a problem.
I do. I really, you know, medicine is, this is not just a medical problem, this is a societal problem, and we all need to work together to eradicate it. Why not let's just be more compassionate towards each other and listen to each other and talk about these things, express your feelings and what's bothering you, and help someone else. Don't judge them. Mm-hmm. Try not to treat them differently for some difficulty they're going through. But try to find where you could relate to them and find an empathic, sympathetic place to understand their suffering. So I am really driven to make a difference, hopefully.
You will.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so television and social media is how I'm spreading awareness. I really try hard to make things pretty simple. Again, I don't know everything. So if someone...
You'll never know everything.
I don't know everything. Psychiatry doesn't know everything. But if there is someone who has heard this and thinks I've said something wrong or incorrect, I apologize. This is as much as I know and as much as I think I can understand and talk about. So that's how I'm spreading awareness. I work pretty hard at it. And it's very rewarding. And I've gotten a lot of messages actually from people through my Instagram that, oh, I'm having anxiety. What do I do? I have this relationship problem. And it's just overwhelming to me how underserved this area is.
So many aspects to it. So many things.
So if someone needs to, if they need to reach me, feel free. It's at the Jazzy Doc. But otherwise, talk to your doctor, get referred to a psychiatrist or a therapist, and don't just ignore these issues.
Don't ignore them, for sure. Is there a website that you really look up to? Or, and you know how some people just like to go on the internet?
Yeah. I really appreciate two websites, NAMI.org, NAMI.org, and ADAA.org. I think I mentioned them before.
Yeah, you mentioned it before. Mm-hmm.
Those are very, very educated sites. They're very knowledgeable. They're very reputable, and they have great information. So I would start there if you want to learn more about these problems.
Well, thank you. Did you want to add anything? Do you have any questions, actually? Because I know that we did talk a lot about the Indian culture, because I was like, oh, it's similar. It is, but there's also different aspects, like marriage, for example, where like marriage for us solves everything. Do you have any questions that are unanswered, Lucy? Because I want you to ask Jazzy.
Yeah, no, I do have a couple questions. Because I know you're definitely trying to put, and I think what you're doing is great. I want to say congratulations. And
Thank you.
And that is really important. And like I said, because in our, not only your culture, but all culture as, you know, brown people, you want to call it, we do need a lot of awareness and we do need a lot of that. And when, is there something like that? Because I feel like when you're doing depressed anxiety, that also stops you from being like great or what you could potentially be.
Absolutely.
Is there any like exercises or maybe a class that you do or something like that where people can like overcome or try to? Because there's, like I said, there's different levels to the psychiatry. And I feel like with everyone having different pressures and us being in LA, people being in, from a small town, people from, you know, Mexico, India, all of those are like different levels of what someone could be going through.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they are all things that could be treated. They're just, you know, at a different level of treatment.
Right.
So if there's something that you...
So I think you're asking is where to start.
Yes.
Okay. So... I think the best way to start is A, recognize a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a problem. I'm anxious or depressed, whatever it may be. Start with healthy living practices, very simple, basic things. Try to get enough sleep. Try to eat healthy and exercise. Exercise is very very helpful in anxiety and depression, and it's dose dependent. So what does that mean? That means if you exercise a little bit, you're going to get that much benefit. If you exercise more, you're going to get more benefit. Mm-hmm. So we're humans, animals, you know, essentially we need to run and be active and get rid of that energy, the anxious energy. So exercise is really important. Someone, if you're listening right now and you're anxious or depressed, start working out, go for a walk, do something active to get out of your head. So that would be a start.
Ruckus Avenue Radio.
My brother says that all the time. He'll say, I'm feeling very depressed, but I went to the gym and I feel better. I've heard him say that a lot.
Yeah, and he's right.
And he's only 25, so it doesn't matter how old you are.
No, it doesn't matter. I see children who have mental health issues. So it can start at any time. But what exercise does, you know, it releases endorphins. It does change brain chemistry and you feel better. So definitely look towards exercise, eat healthy, limit substances if you can. Now, if you're saying this to an addict, that's not gonna fly, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm talking about someone who isn't on that level, like you're saying, Lucy, who isn't addicted, but is maybe a little depressed, anxious, and needs to get out of it. So for that person, you know, limit substances so it doesn't cloud the picture for the doctor or the psychiatrist. Mm. So that's very important. So substances can cloud the clinical picture for doctors. So these things I think would be really helpful. There's many breathing exercises you can look online to help control anxiety as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very effective. And it's been studied. So I would also look to that. And hopefully you can get to see someone soon enough.
And recognize that all feelings, you know, depression, all of that is a real thing. I just want people to know that because since I experienced it and I know what I, like my thought process was before, it's like when this whole gun situation started happening, right? Where people started killing each other, or not killing each other, when these people went out on rage and killed a bunch of people.
Right.
And people were like, oh, it's guns, you know, blah, 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 this and this and this and that. One of the biggest arguments that I got with, because I'm for guns, I'm not a violent person, I'm not any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But however, one of the things that I did say was guns are not the problem. Yes, guns were a tool. Same way money is a tool. You do what you want with your money, you do what you want with your gun. I said the biggest thing, and I think what people should be talking about when this gun situation is happening, they shouldn't be talking about guns. We shouldn't be having rallies about guns. Yes, that's an issue. It should be mental awareness. That's what I said. And that was the one number one thing that I was like, I think, so when you said that, you know, this is what I'm trying to do, I was like, I commend you for that. I was like, that's great. What are some steps? Because that's the one thing that I said. I was like, we need more people to be talking about mental awareness. Yes, the gun, that was the effect. That was the effect, but what was the cause?
Right.
What caused it? And that's mental awareness. If this person had, you know, that treatment, if they had said what they feel, if they had said all of those, that would have been the problem. We just saw the effect of the problem. Yeah,
you're absolutely correct. And this is a new area of study to think, you know, I'm only partially involved with, but this is a new area of study that, you know, mental health for these mass murderers and terrorists, like what, you know, we need to look at that too. This is a new problem in our era, right?
Yeah, it is.
So we're, you know, psychiatry and I think all mental and medical fields are still just trying to figure out our role in all of this. So, but you're absolutely right.
Learning every day.
I just feel like this is ongoing learning just because, like you said, it clouds the brains. There's so many different.
There's so many things.
Everyone has their own theories, culture, like what they're eating, what they're consuming. Everything is going to add that. So it's just.
And there's new areas of psychiatry too. It's becoming more and more delineated. There's a new, like I've already mentioned addiction psychiatry, which has been established for a long time, but cultural psychiatry, that's actually an emerging field. How does culture impact mental health? There's also nutritional psychiatry. How does, how do different foods affect our mental health? So we're learning more every day. I wish we had all the knowledge already.
I know.
And we could help patients as much as we, more than we can now. But I also think that the fact that we're talking about it, we're learning, I'm optimistic about the future that we're gonna solve this. We're gonna take care of this. This is we're on a good path.
If we have more people like you, we're definitely gonna.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
No, definitely. And please, guys, please educate yourselves and educate your parents. Like, even if they don't want to listen today, they'll listen tomorrow. They'll listen the next day.
Yeah.
It's just like saying mom, 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 mom. Eventually, she's gonna say what, right? And they'll listen. And again, as I called you like Jazzy, the Jazzy Dog, Jasmine, I've called you so many things.
All good. They're all good.
Again, please reach out to her. She's very knowledgeable. She's learning. We're all learning together. If you feel like, if you don't even know if you have an addiction, ask. Look it up. Sometimes you don't know if you have a feeling. That's the first step. And what I think, what I've taken back from all of this is that it's normal.
Yes.
You know, that people need to stop being afraid of the word mental health.
I've told them I'm a psychiatrist and they just kind of give me a look or they stop talking to me.
That's it. They stop talking to you. What?
I don't know, I can't explain
how
it.
They stop talking to you, like, so sweet. But I'm really just because of that,
or they you know, create their own ideas of what a psychiatrist is, but I'm different, or whatever you think it is. I'm not that. I'm pretty open, and I love to talk. I am a doctor. I went to medical school and graduated.
Same schooling, just different. And you have a specialty.
I think people are just scared of mental health.
It is. That's what it is. When you hear mental health, it's like, aha. You know, like, no, you know? And I think people are starting to get more educated, and I'm really happy that the media is bringing more awareness to it, because media is so big in today's world.
Yes.
We're on our phone. Like, my phone told me the other day that I spent 6 hours on my phone in a week.
Oh my gosh.
I was pissed. I was like, that I could have been working, you know, for 6 hours. Like, that could have been an hourly pay. And like, we spend that much time. So media is so powerful.
It is.
And so I love that you're doing media and you're doing live shows and you're, you know, putting it on your Instagram, because people are looking. Someone sent me your profile.
Right.
And I thank you so, so much for coming and so much for listening to my podcast.
Of course. Of course. Thank you so much for reaching out. Thank you to Jen Jen K for recommending
me. Thank you, girl. I will respond to you, I promise.
And I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you for your great questions. And I hope it has been helpful.
It was really helpful.
And definitely. I hope that someone who needs to hear this hears this.
I hope so too. Please reach out, do your research, message me if you need to, message Lucy, message Jasmine. please reach out. That's the first step. So thank you so much. So the Instagram handles are at the Jazzy Doc, at Lucy _ Legend, and at Jyoti K. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. This is Jyoti K Uncut. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Dizzy hip hop, dizzy hip hop. We don't stop. Dizzy hip hop, dizzy hip hop. Dizzy hip hop, dizzy hip hop. We don't stop. You know we the best. Yeah, man's music. I'm bringing the best of the best. Y'all ready?
Roach killer.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, sap vang vadda tera rasta main katta kali billi tara bad luck mere naal panga hatta ch bandook rakha kada number 2 da danga bachcha bachcha mera fan tera fan ek pakka haru main to chakka jaise cricket ke maidan mein Eminem Tupac Biggie Nas rappers ki ye shaan hai ise kehte hain hip hop kyunki public ko nadan hai baaki other rappers ko ye jungle ka elan hai
Rockstar, band kar lo apne boothe sachiyan sunaiyan te dar gaye sare chhoothe music vich mehnat main kiti hun 12 saal le veer mere naal koi heer mere naal nahi how many times have I done this now shut this down run this town so many people proud of your boy cause I came from the bottom of the underground lyrics di koi lord nahi likhda main aap mere kalam vich inna zor hai nyaneyan da main baap
Sing first name still irrelevant Everybody and they be wanna rap But they stay hella bit Because they wanna be on top Don't wanna take the stairs Make everybody competition Only hating cause they scared Now shake your ass and shake your mind I don't care who's rapping better Only focused on my grind now Work, work, call Hanji on my shirt Pour ice water on your head I'm asking where your money at though Is it only hashtag I care you doodle talk Cause me diapers get rashes from your lies There's a world beyond your selfies and That shit is hollow like them brown bunnies from Easter Say them brown honeys is either Siddhi Sadi or the clown Holy Kadi Nashia Cushy Cushy on that acronym Beats like booties, we smackin' them Use words to paint the picture, y'all double tappin' them Mitra da na chal da Start askin' them, Prince Poet
Tera hote assi tore chale ya Hona si rukna hi nahi Assi rukna hi nahi
Dekhtelo
Tere kami akke hone lag ki Barek saada mukna hi nahi Saada mukna hi nahi
Let's go!
I am jab se industry mein hili sari industry mein rapperon ko maru jaise I am on a killing spree ek ke baad ek break fail rap gaadi mein hu tail main bada mehanga tu on sale main first tu fail din din baki kar le koi chalaki par tera career tujhe mil nahi payega main gaad dunga aisa tujhe hil nahi payega main phapaunga aisi beta sil nahi payega
Yeah, all I hear is hip-hop this and hip-hop that Tell the truth, dog, can none of y'all homeboys rap? You don't got the fresh style, no lyrics, so no competition Prepare these rappers for they death, I'm the mortician Shuru-thon, I was focused on my craft Always stay true to the 808 bass claps Always knew that DJs were supposed to scratch And the selectors, them run the track Bring it back S-N-O-O, Superboy coming through with a versatile style Switching up flows, that's enough though Only mess with the best cause the rest is a mess So we let go Men only like that koi no kuga hun Assemble the squad from all over the world Jihad jitu chan and then bring your whole team I'm not talking shit yo I'm
you
living the dream
You know we the best now Gotta look at us now Agi asa manda sada pussy karo rest now Vaya pota gandu Dukana karo bandu Ego twati vardi Uttu vada sada
Akhriya pehla kaafi kalla Me akela respect Vade anu bandra anu dava kela ABCD wala rap na karo
ਅਸੀਂ ਰਹਿਣ ਦੋ ਖੇਡ ਮੈਂ ਖੇਡਾਂ ਵਾ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਅੱਕੜ ਬੱਕੜ ਕੈਚਵਾ ਫਲੋ ਜਬ ਸੇ ਕਰਾਂ ਮੈਨੇ ਰੈਪ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਤਬ ਸੇ ਡਰ ਰਹਿਤਾ ਹੈ ਮੇਰਾ ਸਭ ਕੀ ਆਖੋ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੋ ਕਾ ਆਪਣਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਬੁਰਾ ਸਪਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਹਿਸਕਤ ਫੈਨ ਉਸ ਕੀ ਬਟੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਬਾਤ ਸੇ ਬਤ ਸੁਣੋ ਮੇਰੇ ਧਿਆਨ ਸੇ ਵਾਰ ਕਰੋ ਤੁਮ ਪੇ ਮੈਂ ਸ਼ਬਦੋ ਕੇ ਬਾਣ ਸੇ ਟਾਂਗੋ ਕੇ ਨੀਚੇ ਸੇ ਨਿਕਲੇਗੀ ਧਰਤੀ ਔਰ ਬਚਾ ਕੁਛ ਖੂਨ ਤੇਰਾ ਨਿਕਲੇਗਾ ਆਗੇ ਵਾਲੀ ਲਾਈਨੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਸੁਣੋ ਸਲੋ ਮੋਸ਼ਨ ਮੇ ਹੇਰੇ ਵਾਲਾ ਨਕਲੀ ਰੈਪਰ ਰੋਕੀ ਬਿਨਾ ਲੋਸ਼ਨ ਕੇ ਦਰਦ ਨਾ ਕੋ ਮੈਂ ਦੇਖਾ ਕੇ ਖੋਲ ਕੇ ਸੁਖਾ ਸੁਖਾ ਬੜਾ ਦੁਖਾ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਬੇਟਾ ਬੋਲ ਦੇ ਇਹ ਇਲੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਡਰਾਮਾ ਹੋਣੇ ਵਾਲਾ ਹੈ ਦੇਸੀ ਹਿਪ ਹੌਪ ਕਾ ਓਬਾਮਾ ਹੋਣੇ ਵਾਲਾ ਹੈ ਪ੍ਰੈਸੀਡੈਂਟ ਤੇਰੀ ਦੀਦੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੜੀ ਫੈਨ ਹੈ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੋ ਜਾ ਪਗਲੇ ਤੂੰ ਮਾਮਾ ਹੋਣੇ ਵਾਲਾ ਹੈ
You know we the best now, not alone or less now Aage aa zamana sada tusi karo rest now Aaya pota jand, dukha na karo band Ego thodi vaddi, utto vadda sada You know we the best now, not alone or less now Aage aa zamana sada tusi karo rest now Aaya pota jand, dukha na karo band Ego thodi vaddi, utto vadda sada man
What up everybody, this is Koltar Rai Listen to Ruckus Avenue Radio at dashradio.com. Download the Dash Radio app for complete access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
ਜੇ ਤੂੰ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਤੂੰ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਨਾ 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 ਨਾ
ਚੋਰੀ ਚੋਰੀ ਤੂੰ ਲੁਕ ਕੇ ਰੁਕਦੇ ਨੇ ਸਾਹ ਹੁਣ ਮੇਰੀ ਜਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਤੇ ਅਟਕੀ ਹੁਣ ਬਸ ਤੇਰਾ ਮੈਂ ਹੋਣਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਚਾਹਵਾਂ ਤੂੰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਚਾਹਵੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੀ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੋਂ ਲੈਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਚੈਨ ਨਾ ਆਵੇ ਦੂਰ ਨੀ ਤੇ ਤੋਂ ਸੋਹਣੀ ਰਹਿਣਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਤੇ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਕਰ ਵੱਖਾਵਾਂ ਵੱਖਰੀਆਂ ਰਾਹਾਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਸਿਫ ਰਹੇਗੀ ਤੂੰ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਨਵਾਂ ਕੁੱਟ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਾਂ ਚ ਮੈਂ ਸਾਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਲਿਖਾਵਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੇ ਤੂੰ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਤੂੰ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਨਾ ਨਾ ਨਾ
जैसे बादल और बरसात तुझे हो मेरी शूरी वो तुझ पे खत्म मेरी हर बात मुझे तू पीने के बाद आती है बेबी और याद सच मुझ हो जाए ना कुछ बड़े नाजुक
किदा गुजारा मेरा होना राता नु कीवे हुण सोवा जण निकल दी मेरी जद मैं कल्ला बेबी होवां मैं सारी रात हुण जागा तेरे नाल ਜੇ ਤੂੰ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਤੂੰ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਵੇਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਨਾ 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 ਨਾ
Patra. Listen to Ruckus Avenue Radio at dashradio.com and download the Dash Radio app for complete access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to our station.
Now whatever you wear, babe, you can make the whole room stare. But you know that my favorite is when you're rocking that This Is Way.
Oh, tenu suit suit karda. Oh, tenu suit suit karda. Suit karda. Tenu suit suit karda. Oh, ni tu lagdi Punjaban, lagdi Patola, lagge ni tu saryan to vakh ni. Tenu suit suit karda. ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਪੰਜਾਬਣ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਪਟੋਲਾ ਲੱਗੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਸਾਰਿਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਖ ਨੀ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸੂਟ ਸੂਟ ਕਰਦਾ ਉਹ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸੂਟ ਸੂਟ ਕਰਦਾ ਸ਼ੋਰ ਨੇ ਤਬਾਈ ਜਿਹੀ ਪਾਈਆ ਪੁੱਛਦੇ ਨੇ ਮੁੰਡੇ ਦੱਸੋ ਕੁੜੀ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਆਈਆ ਝਾਂਜਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਸ਼ੋਰ ਨੇ ਤਬਾਈ ਜਿਹੀ ਪਾਈਆ ਪੁੱਛਦੇ ਨੇ ਮੁੰਡੇ ਦੱਸੋ ਕੁੜੀ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਆਈਆ ਬੱਚਾ ਬੱਚਾ ਫਿਰੇ ਹੈ ਨੀ ਬੱਚਾ ਬੱਚਾ ਫਿਰੇ ਫਿਰੇ ਬੱਚਾ ਬੱਚਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਮਰਦਾ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸੂਟ ਸੂਟ ਕਰਦਾ
Whatever you wear, babe, you can make the whole room stare. But you know that my favorite is when you're rocking that This Is Way. Ooh, your little black dress, it don't do it for me. You know how to impress, just give it to me. No jeans, no dresses, no tees, no. My queen, she's in a sari, yeah. Now keep it busy, like you're in Delhi. You gotta rep the team, shawty. I know the facts of matters, me you should be checking. Cause I wanna make you my rani. Rock with me.
ਜਦੋਂ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਨਿਕਲੇ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਸੀਨਿਆਂ ਚੋਂ ਦਿਲ ਉਦੋਂ ਫਿਸਲੇ ਬਲੈਕ ਯੈਲੋ ਰੈਡ ਜਦੋਂ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਨਿਕਲੇ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਸੀਨਿਆਂ ਚੋਂ ਦਿਲ ਉਦੋਂ ਫਿਸਲੇ ਦਿਲ ਵਾਲੀ ਗੱਲ ਕਹਿਣੋ ਦਿਲ ਵਾਲੀ ਗੱਲ ਦਿਲ ਵਾਲੀ ਗੱਲ ਕਹਿਣੋ ਗੁਰੂ ਡਰਦਾ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸੂਟ ਸੂਟ ਕਰਦਾ ਉਹ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਪੰਜਾਬਣ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਪਟੋਲਾ ਲੱਗੇ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਸਾਰਿਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਖ ਨੀ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸੂਟ ਸੂਟ ਕਰਦਾ
ਸਪੀਡ 100 ਤੇ ਸਾਈਡ ਚਿੱਕਾਂ ਖੱਬੇ ਸੱਜੇ 200 ਨੇ ਪਰ ਤੇਰੇ ਜਿਹੀ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਵੇਖੀ ਕੁੜੀ ਕੋਈ ਦੇੜ ਤੂੰ ਜੋ ਤੇਰੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਖੜੇ ਜੂ ਕਦੋਂ ਦਾ ਤੂੰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਲਾਇਆ ਬੱਲੀਏ ਹਾਇਓ ਲਾਇਆ ਬੱਲੀਏ ਅੱਜ ਤਾਂ ਤੂੰ ਕਹਿ ਦੇ ਚੱਲ ਡੇਟ ਚੱਲੀਏ ਹਾਇਓ ਡੇਟ ਚੱਲੀਏ ਹੱਥ ਮੁੜ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਫੜੂੰਗਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਣੇ ਖੜੇ ਨਾਲ ਐਵੇਂ ਲੜੂੰਗਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਨੀ ਤੂੰ ਥੋੜਾ ਤਰਸ ਗਾ
ਸੋਤੇ ਨੱਡੀਆਂ ਹੀ ਟਾਪਦੀਆਂ ਥੇ ਸੋਲੇ ਪਰ ਤੇਰੇ
ਤੇਰੇ ਜਿਹੀ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਨਾ ਦੇਖੀ ਕੁੜੀ ਕੋਈ ਯਾਰ ਫਲਿਪਡ ਅਰਾਊਂਡ ਦ ਵਰਲਡ ਲੁੱਕਡ ਇਨ ਐਵਰੀ ਸਿੰਗਲ ਸਿਟੀ ਯੇ ਕਦੋਂ ਦਾ ਤੂੰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਲਾਇਆ ਬੱਲੀਏ ਹਨੇ ਲਾਇਆ ਬੱਲੀਏ ਅੱਜ ਜੇ ਮੈਂ ਕਹਿਵਾਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਡੇਟ ਚੱਲੀਏ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਹਾਂ ਕਰ ਦੇ ਹੱਥ ਮੋੜ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਫੜੂ
Ravi Sundu, and you can check out RuckusAvenueRadio.com for more information and for the latest on station programming and more.